I think every year we're like that. Every time we get a chance to lace them up, you got TJ over there. Years past, we've had Ben. You know, I don't take it for granted, but I have the privilege of every year we try to compete. And I'm very thankful to have Mike T and Omar doing that for us.
I love the Yinzers. I've been around them my entire career. You guys know Big Mike was on the show. There's just something special about the people from this area. You know, there's something in the water, maybe, but
rust.
But
steel. Rust,
yeah.
They just
E. coli, maybe. They're built a little differently.
Yeah, and they love their Steelers. They love you already, man, and they will love you forever if you go do what you're going to do for them here in a couple.
All right, hello everybody. Immaculate vibes, I suppose, over at Steelers training camp. Weather cooperating, so they are hitting each other. Backs on backers. The quasi-Oklahoma drill from back in the day. Steelers, one of the few teams to do it. Football's in the air, and that was Pat McAfee and the gang. They made it out to Latrobe, and they had all the big names on. Hayward, Watt, Rogers, Tomlin, Omar Khan, Gene Steratore even made a cameo. No Kabali, which I thought was strange.
Which Mark will claim he doesn't take personally, but on the inside, it's a mixture of being hurt.
You think he's a sad clown right now?
Seething. Is that Pagliacci was the sad clown? Yeah.
Listen to this guy, Dom. Pagliacci.
Well, it's the old, hey, you're sad? You should go see Pagliacci, the clown. He's in town. Doc, I am Pagliacci. Anyway.
None of us have ever heard that expression
If you've
before.
Seen the movie Watchmen, you've seen that reference.
I thought Pagliacci was like a Greek philosopher.
Well, did you know Donnie?
I thought Pagliacci was my old bookie.
I believe Donnie thought that, what, Plato lived in the 1700s?
1800s.
1800s?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, vibes were high, except for Kabali, who will say that it doesn't bother him, but it does. He'll text me that it doesn't bother him here in about 10 minutes if he hears this.
Well, he can't because he should be doing his job and watching the Steelers practice right now.
Yes.
Look, here is my take as a Steelers fan on their situation right now. It is very easy to get swept up in this because Aaron Rodgers is an all-time great quarterback. And we've seen ancient quarterbacks turn back the clock, go to new teams, and win. We've gone over those guys. They also brought in other big-name players, Jalen Ramsey. They drafted Derek Harmon in the first round. They brought in Darius Slay from a Super Bowl-winning team. They get Troy Fautanu back from injury, so it's like having two first-round picks in a way.
They brought in the, did you say Metcalf already? They got the somewhat of a headache George
Pickens. I forget
Pickens
about Metcalf
out.
Sometimes because it happened, and then we immediately started to get to Aaron Rodgers' watch.
Yeah.
So there is that, but I am still of the opinion that the best thing that could happen to this team in 2025 is to have a down year and put themselves in position to draft their next franchise quarterback when the draft is here in April. I do believe among realistic, and I do think it's realistic, scenarios, that's the best one. So that's the tug of war that I have inside of me. Part of me wants to dump the Kool-Aid into the funnel and chug it. Even though I'm not a good chugger, you've seen me funnel before, and it went badly.
Yeah, that
remember
was
that? That was
your
Steelers' opening day. That was at
well, you've been,
home opener.
You've dunked a basketball in your life. I've never done that or close. I've funneled beers at a high level.
You made 9 straight threes. I still have people that come up to me and ask if it happened.
Pony,
I
would
said,
trade.
Yes.
I would trade that story and that thing I did to have dunked a ball cleanly one time in my life without a second's hesitation.
Well, I'm trying to get back to that, and I'm not there yet. But maybe someday.
Well, here's my question about you saying what you just said about the best outcome for them you think in the long term, because I think you don't need me to say explicitly that I agree with that, and I've said that for a while. How easy will it be for you if they start hot this season, say 4-1 through 5 games, okay? Mm-hmm. Third of the season roughly is down.
Yep.
How much will you ditch your take here on July 30th in the moment and be like, this kicks at, like, especially if Rodgers looks pretty sharp and all that?
Yeah.
How much are you going to say, screw that, I'm into it now?
Yes.
Okay, just yes.
Yes.
Yes, the answer is yes.
Yes.
Because if Donnie was over there, I know he'd say the same thing.
Yeah.
He'd be in it in the moment. So it's basically the bloodless version of you that's able to say it now because they're just starting to hit each other at training camp versus what could happen when the season starts?
If they get beat by the Jets in week one, I don't think I'm going to come in here and say, hey, guys, this is actually a good thing. Let's rally behind this.
You'll be foaming
at the
mouth.
I'll be frustrated and upset that they got beat by Justin Fields and the Jets and Aaron Rodgers' old team after the quarterback swap that the two teams did in the offseason. But, you know, there's manufactured Super Bowl hope, and then there's real authentic Super Bowl hope like they have in Buffalo and Philadelphia again this year. And Rodgers, every time he talks about this, I think is generally right. We have the clip on McAfee's show. He gave a variation and a version of it again today, talking about the team goal and what his expectations are.
I mean, everybody's 0-0 right now. There's 32 teams that feel like they can win a championship, but you guys know, covering the game, there's only a handful of teams. I always say like 6-8, but it's really like 8-12 because there's some of those teams like the Commanders.
Whoa.
Last year.
Oh my God!
I was behind you.
I saw the sign. That's what got me. I was just talking to Ty about the San Diego Chargers playing.
Yeah.
You know, when you're as old as I am, you played in so many different stadiums and against different team names. We beat the St. Louis Rams.
Yep.
That team doesn't exist anymore, but there's a history of excellence that exists in only a few places around the league, and thankfully I'm here in one of them.
Yes, but he did point out there's a team that kind of comes out of nowhere every year and turns up or becomes an unlikely Super Bowl team. Now, those are usually manned by young quarterbacks who break out.
Jaden
Daniels.
Not
guys, Joe Burrow, and not guys at 41 years old.
Only a couple of instances of guys who are in their 40s
right.
doing that.
So,
it just doesn't happen often.
Right now, I feel like it is like manufactured excitement. You know, I think very few people actually hold Dom's opinion that the Steelers are going to be in the AFC Championship game and are one of the four best teams in football going into the season. Everybody else is just here to have a good time right now. And pads are back on and it feels like real football. And for the most part, they don't want to consider apocalyptic scenarios like Aaron Rodgers looking his age or the offensive line performing badly or them not having real number two wide receiver or the defense not being as good as the money they spent on it.
So, question though,
yes.
Why is it so hard for people to conceive of or not entertain maybe or understand that it's possible those scenarios? They've been immensely frustrated to end most of the last several seasons, really. Mm-hmm. Like, is it that much worse to imagine them going 6-11 than some of what we've gotten here, which is dead man walking team drags its carcass into the playoffs as the Christians in a Christians versus the Lions game? I don't think it should be that much tougher to look at that way.
Here is the very optimistic Steelers opinion I've heard a lot on this station and from fans even in just civilian life. Yeah, I think they're going to be the same team this year, but they're going to be more fun. Yeah, they're a 10-7 team that gets in as one of the last wild card teams. And I wouldn't pick them to win in Baltimore, Buffalo, or Kansas City. But you know what?
They're going to be a fun
bunch. I'm
going to
have more fun watching them.
Is it because of Rodgers?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Was he that fun in Jersey last year with the Jets?
No.
I don't think it was fun.
No, it was not. But
Jets are a dysfunctional franchise, but I wouldn't say that the Steelers are. They're not on the Jets level, but let's be honest. It hasn't been smooth sailing here and fun.
They'll give one of those teams a better run for their money. And you'll look back on it as not a boring, uninteresting, frustrating, disappointing season. And then you turn the page to the quarterback pursuit of 2026. I get that from a lot of Steelers fans.
Man, one of the things that if they're not good, though, that should worry people about 2026 and beyond is it's hard for me to imagine, let me put it this way, Rodgers being terrible,
yeah,
but the offensive line being stellar and he's just standing tall. If he's bad, part of the reason is almost certainly going to be because Broderick Jones
sure.
or maybe even Troy Fautano or both just aren't good this year.
Yeah.
And then that kind of thing, when those are your two first-round picks and they're bookend tackles,
yep.
that sets you back, man.
I know. So when you put it that way, it sounds like you wouldn't mind them having a season like the last couple.
Well, I'm more pointing out that, like, saying that they would have a bad season and that could be a good thing almost certainly comes with it the idea that guys you picked very highly in the draft aren't producing the way you thought they were.
Yeah.
And that isn't, you know, you can't just say 6-11, hey, that's probably best for business in a vacuum.
I bought the Phil Steele football guide today, which is one of my favorite things in the world.
Do you actually read it?
I do, for the most part.
Because it's just written in size 2 font.
It's actually going to be the subject of Judge Dom, who's back after Malzi wanted him disbarred.
I wanted him disbarred. This is unbelievable that this judge is allowed to try cases
Phil
in this
Steele
country.
Phil Steele ranks Penn State as the best team in the country going into this college football season.
Okay.
And so we will be debating, is Penn State worthy of being the number one team in the country in Judge Dom's courtroom? But one of the first things I do when I get this magazine every year is I see where he ranks the quarterbacks for the NFL draft. And so if the Steelers struggle and have close to their pick of the litter, or if they have a good year and have to, you know, get the 4th or 5th best quarterback in the draft, here's how he ranks them going into this year. He has Drew Aller 6. He has your boy Lenoris Sellers 5. Sam Levitt from Arizona State 4. Cade Klubnik, Clemson 3. Arch Manning 2.
Nussmeier.
And Garrett Nussmeier from LSU number 1.
I hope everyone's listening to Phil Steele. My guy Lenoris Sellers just laying in the weeds there at 5. He'll be available if the Steelers are picking like 14th. How many teams, by the way, could suck this year realistically and then be drafting a quarterback because it's a need? If the Patriots suck this year, they're not drafting one. So in that division, Jets for sure.
Yep.
In the Steelers division, I think it's
Browns.
Cleveland and the Steelers.
Yep.
In the AFC South, it's not
Colts.
Houston. Colts could do it. Titans, no.
No.
Obviously.
They picked Cam Ward.
Yeah. Trevor Lawrence, I think, is going to get a new lease on life.
They wouldn't do it.
And the Raiders in that division.
Yes.
So how many have we named so far? 4 teams in the AFC?
Raiders, Colts, Browns,
Steelers.
And Jets.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so 5 counting the Steelers.
Yep.
Giants will definitely be in that market.
They picked Jackson Dart in the first round, though.
Still might not be out of it, would you agree, if they have a chance to get like an Arch Manning somehow?
Could absolutely do it. Sure.
Like, I'm just not saying Jackson Dart's an automatic, given where they picked him.
Nobody in the NFC
nobody
North.
Nobody in the NFC North. The Saints, I would think.
100%.
I would think they're obvious.
I think Carolina could get back into it if
totally
Bryce Young
depends,
has a bad year.
If it's Bryce Young being bad, that's one thing. And then Frisco just signed Purdy.
L.A. for sure.
L.A. is
going to be Stafford's age.
Is Arizona going to be looking to trade Kyler at
Arizona and Seattle are kind of wild cards, depending on
right,
how both
so
of those teams go.
So I guess there's like 8 or 9 teams that could be both bad and need a quarterback.
Yeah.
Interesting calculus to try to figure out.
But Dom thinks this is day one of a season that ends in the Steelers playing late January, correct?
I do, and I just tweeted this out. I think by Halloween, most people at this station, in this city, and most Steelers fans will be saying they're Super Bowl contenders. Just by looking at their schedule at the first couple months and where what the vibes will be, yeah, I think people will be talking Super
Bowl.
Will
Aaron Rodgers be in the MVP conversation?
100%.
Will their record be after 7 games?
100%. There's zero, like, there's no room for him not
even
being.
99%.
No, it's 100%.
I think 5-1 after 6 games and 6-1 after 7 games, beating the Packers on Sunday Night Football going into
Who the hell
Halloween.
Is going to beat them?
Bengals.
Mm.
My Super Bowl winners. But yes, Pony, not only Super Bowl, but I think you're MVP, but I think Rodgers could also win Comeback Player of the Year.
Oh,
Coming back from
injury, just from sucking really badly.
Well, injury and sucking really badly.
But he didn't suck really badly because, of course, I've been told his numbers were comparable to Russell Wilson.
They are.
Upping the ante at camp right now from having Aaron Rodgers on to now Pittsburgh dad is where the proceedings have gone on the Pat McAfee show right now. A one-on-one with
Colin
Pittsburgh
was
dad.
Working right now.
Text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line. A personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you.
Say you're done, but, you know, I really like the group that we have here. And, you know, we've done a lot this offseason. And, you know, we'll see. If there's ever an opportunity to improve the team, you know, we'll think about it and talk about it. But, you know, we feel good about the team, Pat.
You never say you're done, Omar Khan, moments ago with Pat McAfee. You never say you're done. NFL.com doesn't think the Steelers are done. Because NFL.com has the Steelers acquiring Keenan Allen right now. That is their projection. Finding homes for the remaining free agents. They think Allen is going to go back on his wish to play on the West Coast. And because those opportunities are seemingly non-existent, if it's Pittsburgh or don't play, he's going to give in and pick the Steelers. Which would make me feel better about
them. I mean, that would make them a better football team.
100%.
He's a definition of a professional route runner and a quarterback safety.
Yeah, route. He's not cut from the Robert Woods, Allen Robinson, Van Jefferson cloth. He's a legit dude, and I think his game ages well. I mean, look at how long Adam Thielen has lasted. He's still in Carolina kicking. You know, you usually have...
Keenan Allen's like a Hall of Very Good player.
Yeah, in every era... You have a wide receiver who sticks around and plays pretty well into his mid to late 30s. And I honestly think he has the chance to do that.
Actually, if Keenan Allen doesn't miss a couple seasons, basically all like a season and a half early in his career, I feel like that guy is starting to like talk about gold jacket territory. He'd probably be up near 15,000 receiving
yards. Yes.
Like he's that dude, man, or was, and he's still a solid football player.
So I would love that.
As much you've heard me bang the drum for Amari Cooper to a point that probably has annoyed you at this juncture.
Mm-hmm. It actually isn't, Malzie.
I would absolutely rather have Keenan Allen than Amari Cooper. I did see Jerry Dulac in a chat last week was asked about Cooper by, I think, Austin Bechtold.
Oh.
Or intern Dom. And he indicated that he felt Cooper had lost a step or two based on what he had seen.
Oh, Jerry's own observations, not what he heard from the Steelers. This is Dulac's own.
Yes, it was Jerry's opinion that he felt like Cooper. He disagreed with intern Dom, I think it was, asking the question.
So once the Steelers got eliminated from the playoffs, he didn't start watching old Ryder Cup matches. He kept up with the playoffs at that point.
Well, I was going to say that maybe he saw Amari Cooper on the golf
course. Isn't the PGA in Hawaii at that point in January?
Open.
Yeah. How about the Bob Hope? Isn't that going on around that time?
No, they don't call it the Bob Hope. It's a signature event now.
Oh, gotcha.
Kapalua.
Well, then even more reason for him to watch and not pay attention to what Amari Cooper was doing with the Bills. someone named Ralph Vacchiano now works for Fox Sports. He's not one of the guys who were let go in the bloodletting there. And he ranked NFL teams and put the Steelers 6.
He ranked teams and put the Steelers...
He has the Steelers as the 6th best team in the NFL. He has them ahead of your Lions, Malzi. Steelers 6, the Lions down at 9. Steelers ahead of the Commanders from last year's NFC Championship game. Eagles 1, Ravens 2. Again, more Ravens propaganda. Chiefs 3, Bills 4. Packers a surprising 5. And then your Pittsburgh Steelers 6. 4th best team in the AFC. You go by this logic, he has them in divisional round weekend. Ravens, Chiefs, Bills, and then the Steelers.
They don't drug test at Fox Sports, I assume.
Well, Nick and Danny work there, so they probably don't. On Twitter, I asked, are you starting to believe that the Steelers are dark horse Super Bowl contenders? This is neck and neck. 52% say no, they're not. The great vibes of training camp do not have hope springing that in eternal, but it is close. I mean, it's basically man on the street. One out of two people would say, yeah, I do actually think they're right there. Not a clear-cut favorite, but you can squint and see them as a contender. Mike Tomlin admitted today what he does in his spare time. Did you guys see this with Kevin Clark?
Listens to the PM team.
He wouldn't admit that even though he does. He likes to play Sudoku. He says he spends hours a day doing Sudoku and playing crosswords. He said, quote, I'm a puzzler.
You'd think he'd be better at like in-game tactics than with that kind of an analytical mind.
I hate to say it, but that lowers Mike Tomlin's aura playing Sudoku.
How much does losing playoff games by two
or three
touchdowns lower his aura?
Let's see if I can
aura.
Play this audio here. No, this is one of those things where for some reason... Why can't I play videos off of this website?
Is your tab muted?
How do you do... No, the tab has the little...
Sounds up and everything? Yeah. I had an issue with my computer that wouldn't play sound while you're on vacation. I still sat over here and we had to get our guy Ron.
Go to Kevin Clark on X and you're going to see, quote, Mike Tomlin, I am a puzzler.
All right, I have it. By Kevin Clark, would you like to put my computer up? Is this the just the? Oh no, he says. You have to
go down a little bit. This is from 5 hours ago. They did it in some field. This interview. At
it's in
Saint
like,
Vincent College. There's like high grass in the background.
All right, is this like a 40-second clip?
Yes.
Okay, hold on.
You're not going to be able to play it either.
No, I will.
How?
I bet you I'll be
able
to.
You have more.
I have more aura than you do. Dom, can you put my speakers on and see if this
one works?
It's
not going to work.
Okay, ready,
go
Dom?
Ahead. I bet it doesn't work. Yep, told you.
Oh, what the hell? All right, hold on.
It's not going to work.
I'm a big Sudoku guy.
Really?
I am. I'm a puzzler. crossword puzzles, Sudoku.
Sudoku?
It's like a Ron Cook.
Solitaire.
Solitaire?
I like my stimulation.
So that's just, I mean, how often are you just in your office sometimes? You just need a break, maybe 10 minutes?
Yeah, pretty much daily. It's a component of what I do.
I like that.
Yeah.
How'd you get into that?
I've always been into it, man. When I was a little guy, my mother and I, we'd fight over the crossword puzzle in the daily newspaper. She'd always let me go first. And that made me angry because then she would fill the rest of it in. And so it kind of, I'm a competitor. That's kind of what got me going.
What if he's like, iron sharpens iron, my mother and I doing crosswords, things of that nature. What would he have been? So he grew up in what, Newport News?
Mm-hmm.
Would that have been like the Virginia Pilot or something? Like, what
I don't
would
know,
be
maybe,
the paper of record
maybe
there?
Maybe his mom still stepped up her game and got the New York Times every day.
Do you do the New York Times crossword?
I don't do any crossword puzzles.
I like them. I feel like smart people generally
do all of
them.
Those things are a waste of time.
But watching the Steelers and Dolphins from 1996
okay,
is
that's what Donnie did. Not
you
me.
Do that same thing. You watch 70 Steelers games.
Sure.
Not a waste of time, though.
No, because it applies to my job.
How?
Because we talk about the Steelers, so having a wealth of knowledge on the Steelers doesn't hurt. I don't see how doing crossword puzzles helps. You think Bill Belichick's sitting around, Dom? You think
Bill
back
Belichick
in the day, you think he's
doing
crossword puzzles?
He likes to do ships in a bottle, so he likes to study naval tactics. Does that help on football?
I think, yes. I think, as a matter of fact, naval tactics would.
Give me one prominent naval tactic that would apply to football.
I don't know about prominent naval tactics.
Well, maybe
you
should learn about them because it would help you analyze football.
I'm not a football coach.
But you like to think like a coach. By that logic, you shouldn't criticize any coach because you're not studying what they're studying.
So you think that in answering a question like, this actor played the character Cosmo Kramer on Seinfeld and him putting in Richards or whatever the name is, you think that's making him a better coach? It's a waste of bleeping time.
If a coach you actually liked was doing it, you'd say, man, what a renaissance man this
guy
is.
No, I would do exactly what Dom just said, which is, you know what, I like this guy, but he just went down in my book.
Well, he just said it was an aura issue. You know what's another smart person thing that I would love to do, and I just don't have the, I'm frankly too dumb to do it? Chess. Every smart person I feel like knows how to play chess.
You know what, I agree with you. If he had said, I'm a big chess guy, he goes up in my book.
Because you're a big chess guy.
No,
I'm
sure. Not really a big chess guy, but I get what you're saying. It's like thinking a couple of steps ahead. That is part of being a football coach. Puzzler, yeah, he's puzzled day and game management situations.
What if he was doing the jumbled words? He was doing like the little, like the stupid puzzles in there. I love the jumbled words as a kid. The crypto quip.
See, there has to be a better thing to do than the Sudoku. Like, the crossword puzzle I'm good with, I like people that are well-rounded. But find a game that's more fun. Do the Wordle or, you know, anything
Wordle.
Else.
Wordle?
Wordle's so easy.
If no, it's not.
If he said he went on and did the thing that, if he said Immaculate Grid, and I'm just naming dudes who
no,
played for
sports,
the Steelers
though.
And Seahawks.
That's sports, though. Do something other than sports. Be
He's
well-rounded.
In sports.
What?
He's in, you're talking about me or are you talking about Tomlin?
I'm talking about Tomlin.
Okay, he's not doing stuff that's sports-related here with this.
I know.
You're still criticizing him.
No, I said don't do the Immaculate Grid like you said. Do something non-sports, but more fun than Sudoku.
I don't know. I'd be able to relate to him better if he did Immaculate Grid. That's why I threw that out there.
The YouTube comments really a mess right now. Chris, I'm with you on chess. I have friends who are chess whizzes, and it's annoying. Johnny the Barber has chimed in. I'm also a chess guy, but he put a T in there.
I love chess. There was a girl up at school that I kind of liked, and we would play chess on our phone, and I beat her every time.
How far did that go with her? Anything beyond that?
No,
would
not at all.
Possibly consider
losing on purpose.
Tanking one time.
I heard that's a bad move. Like, that sets a bad precedent.
You don't have to tell
sets
her.
Sets a bad precedent? Obviously, the precedent you set so far
right.
isn't working.
Well, that's true.
Why didn't you?
You're not even on first base. You're barely in the batter's box.
You're kicking the dirt off your cleats with your bat there. You gotta like. You don't tell her that
you're hitting the game. Brian Hayes in this situation.
What are you doing here? You're Tommy Pham pre-contest.
At this point, we might have to call Austin Bechtold and see if he can. Well, because she was better.
She was talking a lot of games, so I thought, all right, maybe if I show her up and beat her, you know, it'll impress her.
Yeah, and it hasn't.
Yeah.
I'm a puzzler.
I think we need to get that clip. It would be a perfect thing to play when he makes a horrifying in-game decision later this year.
That won't take long.
Right. We'll use it in week one, even if they win, and we'll just get, I'm a puzzler. I'm out there. I'm doing the puzzles. You think he's like, do you think he would have said growing up, he would have said, I was a kid who read the Sunday funnies?
Yes.
100%.
He's a football
right?
guy.
He's a football guy. Yeah. All right. Starts in less than an hour. We'll get you ready for the Bucks and Giants as Pittsburgh goes for a sweep out west against a team that's fighting for a playoff spot, the Giants. A day away from MLB's trade deadline. Things are moving at a glacial pace throughout the league. A guy no one ever heard of was traded from the White Sox to the Yankees today. That's the extent of it. Still just the Adam Frazier move for the Buccos. Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. That's where we find our 93.7 The Fan MLB analyst, former big league pitcher Matt Clement with us. Matt, you were traded a couple times. Give us a good trade story involving you or maybe a trade deadline story involving a teammate.
Well, my two trades were ironically 364 days apart with like 3 days left in spring training. So I don't have the trade deadline feel, but also I think that might be the worst time you could possibly get traded, getting ready to move into your new city and have everything ready to go and your family. And then everything falls apart on you and you're going to a whole new situation and you have to start over and get rid of all the leases and cars getting transported and everything else. So it's,
does the players union help with that, or are you on your own in that situation, Matt?
You get some assistance from both the teams. Actually, when I went from San Diego to Florida and Florida to the Cubs, both the teams like help. You know, if that's traveling secretary territory, right?
That traveling secretary's got to be
interesting.
Burning the lines up, I would think.
Yeah, and you know what? You have good relationships. You know, as a player, I always tried to treat everybody at the highest end, and because of situations like that, also that's just how I am, number one. But also in situations like that, like they're obviously more willing to, like, you're in a panic mode, they're going to figure things out for you. But that's part of their job description, a traveling secretary. And honestly, there were two kind of out of the blue trades for me too. Ones I wasn't expected. I wasn't rumored to be traded, and it happened. And the one trade happened. My wife was in, we were in Florida and we were in Melbourne getting ready to basically go over, you know, go to Fort Lauderdale or Pembroke Pines area for that season with the Marlins. And I got traded to the Cubs, and I happened to have one of my good friends was in town visiting, watching me play my last spring training start. And he drove back with my wife to Pennsylvania. I canceled his plane ticket. He drove back and helped her get back to Pennsylvania at the time. Those are just kind of how things work in that situation. So this is a little easier right now. Not easier because it's, you know, it's a small time frame you're looking at, not the whole season.
Matt, I try to catch myself when I'm doing this. You know, the players are human beings here who are getting traded. It uproots things. You just described it. You get traded right at the end of spring training. Did you feel like either time it hurt your ability to perform to the level you expected to perform right at the start of the season because you were so just trying to get your bearings basically over that 2 week stretch or thereabouts?
You know, maybe to an extent. I think the more, as you asked that question, what came to my mind was like the urgency to do well in a new situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you have one chance to make a first impression. You don't have all spring training to make that first impression. Where you're learning your way through, you have a couple bad outings. Like the urgency to like kind of fit in and show that you have a little bit of, there's a little bit, I'm not going to lie to you, some like, you know, I'll show them why they trade me. You know, and you want to show, you know, you want to prove them wrong for trading the other team wrong, like the Padres and the Marlins when they traded me. Like you have that a little bit going on, but also like that urgency to like kind of like show that, you know, they made a good move at the same time, like they're picking you up.
Who was a guy on the Cubs when you got traded who made you feel real welcome, like it was an easy transition into the clubhouse because somebody was there that just kind of smoothed that out and what have you?
Easy. Joe Girardi. I mean, it was like my favorite, you know, one of my favorite people that I, you know, ever played with, but also got to throw to. And he was my catcher when I walked in the place. And he was one of those guys, like, you're playing, and he was almost like, he was like managing the team as a player, like as an assistant manager, an assistant coach, when you walked in. And just, I mean, first off, just a tremendous human being and person to be around and leader. But like, and he helped me immensely pitching wise, honestly. Like it was the thing I kind of needed when I got to the Cubs, was having that catcher to like, to take me under his wing and let's figure out, you know, almost like he wasn't doing this, but to me, he was. Like, okay, you have all this potential. Let's figure out how to get all this potential out of you and make you a big league player.
Matt Clement with us here, 93.7 The Fan, MLB analyst. One more reminiscing question, then we'll get to the topic of the day, and that's what the Pirates should do. You were on the Cubs when the Pirates made one of the most infamous trades in their team history. They sent Aramis Ramirez and Kenny Lofton to the Cubbies. And the Pirates got back who, Mulsey? Bobby Hill?
Bobby Hill, Matt Brubeck, and I believe Jose Hernandez. Not that I think about that trade all the time and clutch my fists.
What was your
anger.
Reaction, Matt, when you got those guys from the Pirates for basically nothing?
Well, I couldn't have named any of the people we gave up. I could tell you that. I remember them now, but no, I couldn't have named any of them if you had asked me. I would have lost that trivia question. But it was like a burst, like for a team that, like we were that year trying to, you know, as we did get to the playoffs and went around, and unfortunately what happened at the end, we won't talk about that incident, but bringing in those two guys was like a burst of energy into our team. And especially somebody like, you know, probably, I guess one of the guys that I think was misunderstood as a player until you played with him was like Kenny Lofton. Like, what a leader, what an awesome guy. What a, like a leader as a leader of the lineup and a leader as a player, and just really a really fun guy to play with, and really made a huge difference. And then obviously Rammy was, he is what he is. He's a Cubs Hall of Famer now. So that's where that trade really, like,
yeah. Matt, do you know the Kenny Lofton trivia question that covers the two sports that you hold nearest and dearest to your heart?
I don't know the trivia question. I know he's a hooper, though.
He is the only player, to my knowledge, to appear in both the Final Four and the World Series.
Wow. I did not know that.
He could play some basketball over at, Arizona, I believe.
And if you would, and if you would put a ball in Ethan Morton's hand, he might be able to claim the same thing, Matt. What the heck? You didn't teach him a curveball?
People tried to get me to do that at one point. They were trying, but he was already too far down the road in basketball to go that route.
All right, we've asked you this a million times, but obviously things are fluid and things change. Where do you come down right now on the Pirates trading Mitch Keller and/or David Bednar?
Well, I think this Bednar market is so crazy right now. With the, like, it's gotten better for the Pirates now. He's continued to pitch so well, which is has really helped it. But I think that, like, the way, you know, you have Class A kind of getting removed, you have the Dominguez trade last night that was like a rental but a top 10 prospect, you know, you have a lot of people putting themselves in positions to pay big.
Yep.
I got to say this, both sides of this, right? I think David Bednar embodies Pittsburgh, and I don't want to see him leave. But at the same time, me knowing him, and I'd like to see him get a chance to win. Like, he could end up on a rot, like what we were just talking about, that excitement. He could be the Kenny Lofton of a team and have the chance to win right now. And I think the Pirates could get a pretty good haul back for him that I don't know they thought they could get. Even, let's not talk about how the season started, but like, even since he's been going good, I think it's a pretty big haul you're going to get back. It's funny. You look at major league rumors right now, and it's all about relievers. You're going to win. People are going to win this thing. They're going to win with relief pitching right now. It's at an all-time premium high that these are the people that are winning games right now, and they're paying for those people right now. So I just think, like, the Pirates in the situation they're in, you know, I think it's a trade. It's a trade that needs to be made because the haul you can get. And also I look at it from the side of the other side. I'm sure he doesn't want to leave Pittsburgh because it's home, but he could also have a chance
to go.
Oh,
Matt, I got
to
cut you off here. We have breaking news that just came in per intern Dom, just got in my ear. Ke'Bryan Hayes has been traded to the Reds.
Wow.
Breaking,
Alex
Jeff Passan.
Stumpf, yeah, Mark Feinsand, they all got
it. Ke'Bryan Hayes has been traded to the Cincinnati Reds. Hayes is among the best defensive players in baseball. 5 years of club control beyond the season. We don't know right now what the return is.
What's your reaction to that just right off the bat, not knowing the return, though, that he's not only traded but to a division opponent here,
yep.
Matt?
Well, I just think we talked about him a couple weeks ago. I think with the contract that he had, that was another move that needed to be made. So, let's hope that the results of the trade and the prospects that we got back are hopefully maybe a lineup guy right now is big. But I think the bigger contract, where you are as a team, kind of having to rebuild that offense, you know, doesn't surprise me. It's hard to evaluate the trade until we,
yes,
until we
of course.
See what we got there. And but at the same time, like, not unexpected and you know, gives some, I hate to say this word, like some financial flexibility for the Pirates because you don't know what they're going to do with that financial flexibility.
Well, that just is kind of my first thought is they really wanted to move on from him because you trade him to a team in your division.
Matt, I'm curious to get your thought because I usually say this, and you pitched, and you struck a lot of guys out, but you obviously want guys behind you to catch the ball and field the ball. If I were a pitcher, I'd rather have a third baseman that could pop the ball over the wall and drive in runs than a guy who fielded it like Brooks Robinson. I want my defense to be great up the middle. I want my shortstop. I want my catcher. I want my center fielder. You know, I'm curious from your perspective, did you really care if your third baseman was a gold glover or not?
Well, obviously it was nice to have that if it was the case, but that wasn't I would tend to agree with you. Like my priority is, especially I started my career on some rough teams where I had bad run support. I can't win without runs, and it puts you in such a disadvantage and as a pitcher, and you start to pitch differently when you feel like runs aren't going to be scored. So, and I think one point to be made, like, you know, gold glove third baseman to the middle of the range third baseman isn't that big of a difference. You know, these guys in the big leagues, they don't make errors. Like you flip a game on, you see an error and it's almost like uncommon. They make all the routine plays. They make the hard plays look routine. They're big leaguers. You know, guys are playing in the big league infield are good infielders. It's not like you're not going from Ke'Bryan Hayes to the dude that's going to boot 25 balls at third base.
Matt, thank you so much. I wish we could sit here and do this for another half hour and wait till we find out who's coming back from the deal, but we have great sponsors we need to hear from, and we'll break it all down next week with you as far as
sounds
what the Pirates
good.
Did and didn't do. You bet. Matt Clement with us.
Man.
Yeah.
Pirates wanted that. We knew they wanted that contract off the books.
And Charlie Hayes seemed to know something.
He did.
The Charlie Hayes tweet that we brought up a couple days ago. Yes. There you go. I agree with our boss who just walked in and gave us a thumbs up on how that conversation went.